City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Oh, I like that.
I'm Kelly Simpkins.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 345. I'm Amy Matheny.
I'm Kelly Simpkins.
And Merry Christmas.
Likewise.
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Kwanzaa.
And solstice to the pagan listeners out there, all the pagan fairies.
Happy Gay-a-Day.
Happy Gay-a-Day. We're heading into the home for the holidays time. This week is one in which many people get days off or traveling, and
Santa Claus,
many people flying American Airlines to their home destinations, and yet I am driving this year. We're doing a lot of driving during the Christmas time.
We are.
It's a good thing we have a hybrid, and we're taking the
I don't have a hybrid.
Well, we have a hybrid.
You have a hybrid.
But we're taking the dog on a road trip.
Who just belched
on a road trip.
So that's how she feels about the road trip.
I'm all about the eating over the holiday. Are you looking forward to eating?
That was an interesting segue from the dog to eating.
Oh, well, we just watched Julia and Julie, so I'm kind of feeling very about the food of the holiday season. I don't know why.
I like
Julia
the
Child.
Food.
Yeah. Favorite thing to eat over the holiday season?
Oh, interesting. My family's cheese ball, probably.
And what does the cheese ball consist of?
The cheese ball is cream cheese, mm-hmm. obviously.
Mm-hmm. No, not obviously. I guess it could be something else.
It could be something else. Cream cheese.
Okay.
There's a lot of different spicy things in there.
Mm-hmm.
Worcestershire sauce. Mm-hmm. Worcestershire sauce.
Mm-hmm. Sauce.
And you like vroom vroom, you puree ham. And
vroom vroom.
You make it into a ball and you put it on a pretty platter. And you serve it with Triscuits or the cracker of your choice.
Now I can't fathom you eating vroom vroom ham. That just doesn't
sound
very, like
very
you.
Well, I was vegetarian
I think
for
I
so
had
many
this
years
with your
and they
mom's
made
Thanksgiving.
They made a non-meat cheese ball for me, and it just wasn't the same. So the last couple of years, mm-hmm. I've enjoyed the hammy. I don't normally eat that kind of
thing. Is it like deviled ham?
No. What do you mean deviled ham?
You know, when you used to get the little can of, like, Spam ham?
Oh, it's God, like, no. Vroom, no. No. It's like a deli meat.
Uh-huh.
That you chop up, you puree, and then you mix it all together with these gloves on and, like, shape mm-hmm. it into a ball or a tree or what have you.
Uh-huh.
It's probably my favorite thing to eat.
And what's it rolled in? Like nuts or something?
No nuts. You just roll it, you mix it all together, you do all the sauces and all the spices, and
this must be a Hoosier thing.
A ball. Hoosier!
The cheese ball must be a Hoosier thing.
Is it a
Midwest thing?
It's a big Midwest thing, and there's also tons of food, but my mother's German potato salad, which is my grandma Jean's recipe, is also one of my favorite things to eat over the holidays.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Broccoli casserole, green bean casserole. There's lots of casseroles going down. That's mac and cheese.
My mother asked me today if I wanted squash casserole or broccoli casserole, and I was like, we have to pick? She's like, we'll just have one each, different days.
Oh, good.
So I'm getting...
It's casserole time.
It's casserole time. Well, my favorite thing during the holiday season are a couple of things. First of all, I love these little dinner rolls that are like these little butter rolls that I can't find here in Chicago, and I don't know why. I'm going to have to find out how to get them. But
you get them shipped.
I'm going to have to start getting them shipped. I'm getting so much stuff shipped up here, like peaches in the summer, and now I'm going to have to eat these butter rolls around the holiday time. But
is so much stuff shipped.
Well, there would be more if I wanted to pay for it. And then my favorite thing, which we've already been kind of enjoying, is the peppermint stick ice cream with hot fudge sauce, which is my absolute guilty pleasure. I don't eat ice cream really that much throughout the year. I don't crave it. I'm not a big ice cream person. I know a lot of people are. A lot of people have secret ice cream kind of... Must be why Ben & Jerry's and all those Haagen-Dazs and all those things are in such demand and, you know, are so successful. But I don't eat a lot of ice cream. But I absolutely love peppermint stick ice cream with the chunks of the candy that's crushed up in it to where they kind of ooze into the vanilla ice cream and then you put the hot fudge on it.
It's bizarre.
It's not bizarre.
It's an acquired taste.
Yes. But chocolate and mint are like the pillow mint. I mean, the pillow chocolate in every hotel.
I thought you were going to say the pillar of the
No. I'm just saying unexpected.
That's true.
The what do they call like after crunchy, eights or...
You don't have crunchy peppermint sticks
I don't
in
know.
Ice
I feel like
normally.
There are a lot of chocolate... What do you mean you don't have crunchy things? You have nuts in ice cream?
Not crunchy peppermint sticks, I'm saying. You have mint chocolate chip ice cream, but you don't have like crunchy...
I don't know. It's not that crunchy. It's not like you have huge chunks of it.
Are we getting off on a very weird tangent?
We're obviously very hungry. This is what's happened after watching Julia Child. But anyhow, so I just look forward to it. It's one time that I try to just... And my mother makes homemade chicken salad, which we don't have for our Christmas dinner, but we have... all around every other meal.
It's lovely.
It's a good time. A good time of eating. Of course, I'll have fried okra and summer corn and all that stuff that's canned. I'll make you some of that when we both come back here. So we are on part two of our year in review, and this is our the part where I sit down with Andrew Davis. He is the editor of Windy City Times, and we go back over the year in review for the GLBT community, and it has been a really big year, as we've already talked about, culminating with, I think, one of the big national stories, which we talked about last week, with the new mayor of Houston, Texas, being a lesbian.
And she's a gayer.
She's a gayer, and we've already talked about... you know, some entertainment stories with Tracy Baim. And so now we're really going to take it to an international, local, and national GLBT news. But I just want to kind of talk to you, Kelly, about, you know, there's been a new article written in Newsweek where Newsweek has essentially said 2010 will not be a good year for the gay community and the Obama administration. And as we head into the year where... where they start talking about re-election, which will begin in 2010, that he himself is a part of the cultural revolution, being a black man in the White House. He will not take part in any cultural revolutions in the start of this new election cycle, is essentially what Newsweek said. And I want to know if you think that's true based on their still promises. You're looking at me like, don't ask me this question. I'm essentially asking you, do you think he's going to man up for the GLBT community next year? Or has he kind of done what he was going to do with the hate crimes? Do you think that, you know, don't ask, don't tell will get passed? The promises he's made for the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, you know, having accomplished some things here at the end of the year, what...
God, I
hope so. Do
you
think we can, you know, see anything good for him?
I don't. I mean, his track record has not been good.
Yeah.
He made some pretty bold, very highlighted, very, you know, quote unquote, sincere declarations at that HRC dinner about everything that he was going to do. But it certainly doesn't seem like the GLBT population has been, you know, in the forefront of what his administration is trying to change.
Do you think we're just impatient?
No. I think these are basic human rights. I don't think this is about impatience. I think we are, you know, in a time period when gays and lesbians are more in, you know, society, more out in society than they've been.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's, as you said, it's a historic event for this man to be in the White House and to have run on all the platforms that he ran on. And our community was a big part of that.
Yeah.
Was a big part of that candidacy and a big part of him getting elected. And, you know, it's almost like, you know, here's the Matthew Shepard, James Byrd Act. And that's, you know, a 10-year fight that finally got passed, thankfully. But I hope it's not, you know, another couple of years where it's just like, we'll give them one big thing so that they'll back down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Amy. I can't.
Well, we're sending new
predict.
Troops. You know, we're sending new troops into Afghanistan in 2010. It seems like that it would be the perfect time to eliminate Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Yeah.
The perfect time to make that declaration that he can make. He does not have to wait. We are at war. He could just absolutely, you know, wipe that out.
He could do it in a second.
Yeah. And it seems like
the fact
won
that he chose not to, under the auspices of, you know, we're in a bad economy, there seems to just be excuse after excuse after excuse as to why this isn't happening. And if I do this, then this will happen. And it's all, you know, about the right wing and the backlash. And if this doesn't, you know, if this happens, then healthcare won't get passed. And it's, you know, it's like we are, the historic moments happen in times of trial.
Mm-hmm.
And the courageous moments happen in times of trial. And, you know, hopefully this next couple of years will not be a time where courage is lacking from him.
And yet I think it's very interesting that Newsweek pointed us out as a community, you know, in looking ahead to 2010. I think that's very fascinating and very telling because, you know, I believe if he is reelected in when would that be, 2012, is that right? Did I do my math right? Yes. If he's reelected in 2012, then he can go gangbusters. You know, I only know all this from watching The West Wing. But anyhow, you know, once you get elected the first term, you are automatically within like 9 to 10 months starting your reelection.
Right.
So all of the massive stuff has to happen either in those first 9 or 10 months, and then it doesn't start happening again until you have your last 4 years, where it doesn't matter, where you go for broke. And that's what Bush did, and he went for broke, and we went broke. I mean, literally. You know, he was not waiting for anybody. He was passing everything he wanted to pass, you know, abolishing many of our civil rights as Americans. But it will be very, very interesting to see if he just follows suit. And I think he's shown himself to be fairly conservative. Very shocking.
He has.
Speech at the Nobel Peace Prize award presentation, you know, and having announced that the troops are going into Afghanistan.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely he is a contradictory figure. And, you know, when you have huge Republicans who are praising him upon winning the Nobel Peace Prize and then giving that speech, that everybody's probably not happy at home. But it's been a really big year. There are a lot of good stories. There are a lot of sad stories internationally where GLBT people need America to be an example and to use the strength and power we have as a country for human rights around the world and to be an example of that. So Andrew Davis on the show with us today, our part two of the year in review in news. Also, Richard Knight Jr. has a mega minute about a film that has had a lot of people eager to see it. It is Tom Ford's directorial debut, starring Julianne Moore and Colin Firth, A Single Man. And Kirk and I will tell you what's going on in the theater scene in case you want to catch a show over this holiday week, and also just what happened in the news this week. So stay tuned. It's a jam-packed show.
Hi, I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
Yeah, and I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
I just created a revolutionary aluminum pint bottle. Great new way to enjoy the taste of Miller Lite.
Wow. See, I just designed a new game day delicacy to be enjoyed with your great tasting beer, the 8-layer dip.
Well, the aluminum pint has a wider mouth, giving every sip a superior flow that delivers the great taste.
That's terrific. Most people flow from beef to bean to sour cream to cheese to guacamole to salsa to veggies. See, I'm not most people, though. I flow all the way to jambalaya.
Also, it's got a resealable cap that makes sure every sip tastes as fresh as the first.
Well, my dip is so hearty, it can last from a day game to a night game.
This isn't a competition, you know.
Okay, fine. You advance the science of drinking great-tasting beer, and I advance the art of enjoying it.
Introducing the new aluminum pint bottle from Miller Lite. Just another way for you to enjoy the great taste. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. U.S. Congressman Luis Gutierrez last week introduced H.R. 4321, the Comprehensive Immigration Reform and America's Security and Prosperity Act of 2009, to restore due process in immigration enforcement actions. However, the measure fails to include immigration parity provisions that would allow gay U.S. citizens and permanent residents to sponsor their permanent partners for permanent residency, an immigration right that heterosexual spouses have long enjoyed.
In California, Fresno's Community Regional Medical Center will revise its visitation policy after staff members would not let lesbian Teresa Rowe see her partner, Kristen Orban. For hours, Rowe was stopped from seeing Orban, who suffered an epileptic seizure.
In Kalamazoo, Michigan, Agape Christian Church and Word for Life Church of God plan to leave Martha's Table, a ministry that serves meals to the poor, because they feel the host church is too liberal regarding gay issues. Matt Laney, the pastor of Host Church First Congregational, spoke out in favor of the city's new gay rights measure. Agape and Word for Life would join Centerpoint Church, which has already left the coalition.
New York Governor David Paterson signed an order to ban employment discrimination based on gender identity and expression regarding state workers.
In California, all porn films may have to require its male actors to use condoms if the state's AIDS Healthcare Foundation gets its way. The foundation plans to file a petition to amend the state law to force actors to use the sheaths. The Los Angeles Department of Public Health has documented an epidemic of STDs among porn actors.
In Florida, authorities are investigating the death of Andrew Grand, age 23, after deputies tasered him. Reportedly, Grand, who appeared in gay porn movies as Dustin Michaels, also swallowed a bag of marijuana at the scene. The cause of death seemed to be asphyxiation, but officials are awaiting a toxicology report.
In Nevada, male prostitutes are now legally able to work in brothels. The state will now allow male sex workers to be tested for infectious diseases, a requirement for brothel employees. The State Board of Health will now add urethral exams to the health code's guidelines, allowing all prostitutes, regardless of gender, to be tested.
AIDS activist Dennis DeLeon died December 14th of heart failure at the age of 61. DeLeon, who was the Human Rights Commissioner for New York City, formed the Latino Commission on AIDS. DeLeon is survived by his partner of 32 years, Bruce Kiernan. To honor DeLeon, Mayor Michael Bloomberg ordered all city flags to be lowered to half staff.
In New York, members of the Tonawanda School Board have accepted at least 15 gay-themed books from Gay and Lesbian Youth Services, but cautioned that the books still have to go through the normal process of review. The resolution to accept the books passed by a 4-2 vote.
In Salt Lake City, District Judge Dino Jimenez sentenced Fa Jr. Mwa Mwa, 21, to a year in prison after he pled guilty to one count of aggravated assault with deadly force for beating a gay man.
In world news, Peter Horrocks, the director of BBC World Service, apologized after a poll appeared on BBC's website that asked, "Should homosexuals face execution?" The headline was later changed to, "Should Uganda debate gay execution?" Horrocks said that the headline was too stark, but it's important that this does not detract from what is crucial debate for Africans and the international community.
On December 17th, Portugal's socialist government approved a measure that would legalize same-sex marriage in the country. Church officials have asked for a referendum regarding the issue. Parliament would first have to approve the law, which does not allow for gay couples to adopt children.
In Chile, billionaire Sebastián Piñera seems to be in the lead before a January runoff election to be the country's president. With almost 60% of polling places reporting, Piñera had 44.2% of the vote. Piñera has pledged to support civil unions for same-sex couples and to allow gay residents to openly serve in the military.
Rwanda is considering legislation that would criminalize same-sex acts, punishing them with large fines and prison sentences. Rwanda's chapter of deputies plans to hold a vote on the measure, which would impose maximum penalties of 5 to 10 years in prison plus fines.
In Honduras, GLBT activist Walter Trochet was assassinated by drive-by killers. Trochet, 25, had already been arrested and beaten for taking part in a march against a coup d'etat, and he often publicized anti-gay killings committed by coup supporters.
And in entertainment news, the popular TV show Glee has received 4 Golden Globe nominations, including 1 for lesbian actress Jane Lynch, who portrays cheerleader coach Sue Sylvester.
The Swedish pop group ABBA is a 2010 inductee into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Others include punk rock band The Stooges, reggae singer Jimmy Cliff, pop band Genesis, and legendary act The Hollies. Those missing the cut were LL Cool J, Donna Summer, Kiss, and Laura Nero.
The Screen Actors Guild nominations are out. Colin Firth is nominated for his portrayal of a 1960s gay professor in A Single Man. Helen Mirren for her role in The Last Station. Meryl Streep for Julie and Julia. And the casts of Nine and Precious, based on the novel Push by Sapphire. The ceremony takes place January 23rd.
Anti-gay reggae singer Buju Banton has been jailed in Miami and will be charged with conspiracy to possess with intent to distribute more than 5 kilos of cocaine. Banton has called for the killing of gay people in his music, most notably in the song Boom Bye Bye.
It looks like openly gay movie director Bryan Singer will develop and helm the film X-Men First Class for 20th Century Fox. Singer directed the first 2 X-Men movies before leaving the studio to direct Superman Returns instead. His other movies include Valkyrie, Apt Pupil, and The Usual Suspects.
And that's the Week in News brought to you by Windy City Times.
Let's go to the
Richard Knight Jr. with another Night at the Movies Mega Minute. The ghost of Alfred Hitchcock hangs heavy over Tom Ford's sensational debut feature, A Single Man. Like the late director's chilly masterpiece, Vertigo, the obsessive detail of the off-camera direction is reflected in every movement of the characters on screen. It's a visually stunning film in which the viewer is aware at every moment that they are watching a movie unfold as willed by the director. Not one single element of this sensationally moving drama has been left untouched by Ford, and it's his exceeding good fortune that the material matches his talent so precisely. Ford, who directed, co-wrote, produced, and personally financed A Single Man, after walking away from his contract as clothing designer for Gucci, might want to stop at the one picture, leaving an unsullied reputation intact. That's how perfectly composed and assured a movie it is. The film, based on the 1964 novel by author and gay icon Christopher Isherwood, takes place on a single day and night in November of 1962. George Falconer, played by Colin Firth, outshining even his usual excellent work, is a college English professor, and he's still in the throes of bereavement 8 months after the death of Jim, played by Matthew Good, who makes wonderful use of his brief screen time. His partner, 14 years, who was killed in a car accident while visiting family in Colorado. At the outset, we learn that George has decided that this day will be different. No more going through the motions, no more the unbearably haunted memories. George has decided to kill himself. But even as George makes his elaborate preparations, his plans are put awry thanks to an assortment of interruptions. There is his bewitching fellow London expat, Charlie, played by Julianne Moore, with typical finesse, who won't stop phoning up, the insightful neighborhood child, a hunky hustler, etc. Finally, there's the breathtakingly beautiful Kenny, played by Nicholas Holt, who makes one hell of a fetching protege with his tight white jeans and an angora sweater, which I figured was a subconscious nod to Ed Wood's transvestite classic, Glenn or Glenda. Kenny keeps challenging Firth with his provocative comments and barely concealed lust. On first viewing, the stunning cinematography, gorgeous music score, exquisite production design, and for its position and his innate gay sensibility, George's memories of Jim and his encounters with Kenny are like a prolonged, achingly erotic wet dream. Might obscure the enormously complex performances of Firth and Moore, so I recommend a second and perhaps even a third viewing of A Single Man. Once to revel in the carefully crafted artifice, the second time to fully appreciate the complex performances, and the third to luxuriate in Ford's singular achievement. A Single Man is not just the best queer-themed movie of the year, it's one of the best, period. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Mega Minute.
Ladies and gentlemen, live on stage at the Cadillac Palace Theater, it's the sensational new production of the hit musical, Dreamgirls.
We are Dreamgirls, the boys who make you happy.
Take an unforgettable journey with the dreams as they try to make their way to the top. It's the one musical that has it all. The backstage drama, the onstage glamour, and all the songs you love from stage and screen. Listen to the music, feel the joy, catch the dream. If you only have one night to see a Broadway musical, see the all-new, spectacular Dreamgirls.
Coming soon to the Cadillac Palace Theater, January 19th through 31st. For tickets, call 1-800-775-2000 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of December 21st, 2009, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. The Harris Theater hosts two of Broadway's biggest names this March. Stephen Sondheim, the master of the musical, celebrates his 80th birthday during a special audience Q&A and conversation with Gary Griffin on March 4th. Also, Chicago native and Tony Award-winning actress Christine Ebersole performed One Night Only March 25th, a concert of standards and Broadway favorites. Tickets for both shows are on sale now and going fast. Visit harristheaterchicago.org today.
You're invited to a marvelous party. Writers Theater presents the musical comedy review, Oh Coward. Acclaimed director Jim Cordy brings Noel Coward's effervescent music, quips, and wit to life. Be transported to a 1930s nightclub for a must-see evening of the most memorable tunes of the 20th century. Tickets are selling quickly. Order yours today at writerstheater.org.
Million Dollar Quartet is a hit, raves the Chicago Tribune. On December 4th, 1956, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, and Elvis Presley played together for the first and only time. Relive that night with the new rock and roll musical. For tickets to Million Dollar Quartet, visit Ticketmaster.com. Now extended to March 28th at the Apollo Theater. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hey, this is Carson Kressley, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
It's Christmas time. There's no need to be afraid. At Christmas time, we let in light and we banish shade. And in our world of plenty, we can spread a smile of joy. Throw your arms around the world at Christmas time.
So we continue our look at the year in review, 2009. What were the big stories? I'm so excited to do kind of what we do on an annual basis, is look back at the year in news with our editor of Windy City Times and our news editor for the Windy City Careercast, Andrew Davis. Hey, Andrew, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm good. Can you believe this year is over? It has kind of flown by this year.
Kind of flown by?
Yeah.
Kind of flown
is that because we're getting old? Older?
Older. Not old. We'll never be old.
We will never be old.
No.
We will just be with like a fine wine. We will just continue to ferment.
I like that.
We will just ferment.
Call me Cabernet Sauvignon.
We're aged. Call you Cabernet. That's your drag name. Cabernet Sauvignon. And I can be Chablis or Chardonnay.
Ooh.
That would be the whole name. The middle would be or.
Chablis or Chardonnay. Chablis and Cabernet.
It's like Amy A.
One night only.
Yeah, exactly. One night only. So let's go big and then come to a more local slant. What were the big GLBT stories of the world this year?
Well, it's very interesting because looking back...
Mm-hmm. I forced you to do,
Well, no.
We have to do it.
It's good. We do a wrap-up anyway at the end of the year. So it's good to look back. But it's also a little disheartening to look back because there's a bit of to and fro, if you will, setbacks and advances. I'm sure you remember about the shootings in Israel.
Right.
That took place earlier this year. Two people were killed. At least a dozen were injured. And it happened at a gay center.
Mm-hmm.
And, and then you had the murders in Iraq that are still going on. I mean, there's some very, very disturbing things going on there. It basically, with one case, people were being force-fed laxatives and their anuses were being glued shut.
Mm-hmm.
So, very disturbing on that level. But and the third one I really need to mention is the Uganda bill that's being considered right now. And among other things...
Explain that a little bit to somebody who doesn't know.
Well, homosexuality is already illegal in that country. But this bill takes it a step further in that, among other things, a person could be considered for the death penalty if he or she has same-sex relations with a disabled person.
Mm.
I mean, it is so friggin' oppressive.
Yeah.
And a lot of countries are starting to fight it. I'm not sure... Well, the U.S. actually is being more proactive than it was, but a lot of European countries, for example, like France and England, are speaking out against this law and talking about how very unnecessary it is. But on the plus side, on the bright side, because let's balance this a little. We don't want to depress the listeners.
Yeah. And usually the world sometimes has been ahead of the curve than the U.S. on GLBT issues. Slightly.
Yeah.
Well, the EU has definitely made more advances in past years than we have.
The EU has. And Sweden legalized same-sex marriage this year.
Yes, excellent. The Swedes.
And...
The crazy Swedes, but they did it. It's like a Bergman gay film we've yet to see made.
Ooh.
Ponder that, everyone.
Twist, yeah.
Now we take a 3-minute pause in this broadcast.
And Iceland this year elected a lesbian prime minister, and she became, and I can't pronounce her name because her last name is like 20 letters, but she became the first openly gay head of a country. It'd be equivalent to the president here being gay.
Right.
So I'm like, wow. Yeah, that's quite the event. All of a sudden, I thought about us having a gay president. I'm like, I think that'll happen one day.
Yeah.
And, of course...
Not any time probably in our lifetime, I don't think. But maybe, who knows? We still have to have a woman, you know?
True.
We now had a black man, we'll have a woman. We'll probably have someone Hispanic, and then we'll go through the United Colors of Benetton, and then we make it a gay person. Maybe.
Maybe.
Yes.
Maybe in our lifetime. You never know.
Who knows?
Because we're young.
Yeah. But... That's the Chablis or Chardonnay.
But I did want to mention, I don't know if this is an advance or a setback in a way, but Caster Semenya, the South African runner who was challenged regarding her gender, she took a series of gender tests, and she was eventually allowed to keep her medal, but also the results of the test are being kept confidential. So I'm not quite sure where that lands. It might be somewhere in the middle.
So this was the young woman runner in the World Games, I think it was.
Yeah, the IAFA World Track and Field Championships.
Right. And after she won,
she won by a mile, it seemed. Yeah.
They said that she was a man, that she was a transgender.
Well, a few of the runners who were, a bit angry, I imagine. Yeah, challenged her gender.
It's a really big moment. It's a really big moment for the trans community and the trans people in the world of sports and sporting. And I think more will be revealed about that in 2012.
by 2010.
2010, yes.
Or definitely by 2012. By 2010. Yeah, so that was a really interesting, interesting and compelling
story.
And
we had the Out Games in Denmark, speaking of sports, this year as well. And there was a hate crime incident, but overall it went very, very smoothly. And we're looking forward to 2010 in Cologne, Germany with the Gay Games.
Yes.
So, yeah. That'll be a big story next year, folks.
And then back on American soil in the 2012, or whenever that is. Whenever they're back.
Oh, Cleveland in 2014.
2014.
Yes.
So talk to me about a national level. How did we do as a country, our own country, this year with the GLBT, I hate to say agenda, but how did we move forward in our own civil rights, or did we? The big news stories.
Again, to and fro, just like with the world. It was very interesting. I think, obviously, one of the biggest things that happened for the LGBT community this year was Obama taking office.
Right.
Although there are many members of the community who are not thrilled with him at this point because they feel he hasn't done nearly enough. I mean, he signed there was a ban on HIV-positive people coming into this country, and he ended that. He also signed the federal hate crimes bill.
Yeah, the Matthew Shepard James Byrd Act.
And, you know, he spoke at the HRC dinner, but yeah, there are a lot of people who feel he hasn't done enough. I think we need to give him a little bit more time. He has kind of a full plate.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, all eyes are on DOMA. All eyes are on ENDA. And all eyes are on Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
And the fully inclusive ENDA was introduced this year. And we had our own Illinois Attorney General, Lisa Madigan, among those testifying in favor of it. So hopefully that will pass next year. And Don't Ask, Don't Tell is also another big thing. I think regarding...
And we should just say... Sorry, I just want to interrupt you. Just in case people don't know that ENDA, Employment Non-Discrimination Act, you know, we have always had laws that did not discriminate on a federal level for race or religion. And what happened was the inclusion of sexual orientation and gender identity. And that was kind of the big thing. Were they going to include both? And was it going to fully pass?
So hopefully next year we will be able to say that it fully passes.
Yep.
And because it's just totally ridiculous in my humble opinion.
So sorry, I interrupted you.
Oh no, not at all. Please, you always have something interesting
Cabernet
to say.
Cabernet Sauvignon is just fine with that. Chablis or Chardonnay.
But the whole thing regarding marriage, I mean,
it continues to be our issue. And is it our issue?
By state,
and is it, you know, I said this literally many years ago, almost a decade ago on Lesbi Gay Radio, that the straight community was making this our issue. Then we were kind of making this our issue. Is it still our issue? Is it still the issue of which our community hinges on? Because it seems like it still does.
Well, it's a very important issue. It's not the only important issue.
Right.
But
you would think from the mainstream media that
you would
it is.
Think,
and you would think from politicians it is.
Yeah, you would. I just wish it were attacked more on the federal level, because this state-by-state battle is just, oh my goodness. I think it's dragging out the inevitable.
Right. Which is that we're going to have gay marriage.
Right. Right.
But New York,
there have been advances and setbacks. Iowa okayed. I'm like, right. Iowa.
Iowa, yes.
Iowa.
Right.
What? But yeah, you had the New York Senate, which I believe was it yesterday, rejected, yesterday being December 2nd.
Yeah. We're recording this in advance.
Rejected a marriage equality bill, basically.
Right.
And then you had the main referendum last month, in which...
And how disappointing is it for Maine? Maine disappointing, New York disappointing, D.C. trying to make advances that they can make with civil unions.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And, of course, in California, Prop 8 was upheld in June.
Right.
But the 18,000 same-sex couples who did get married before it passed last November, their marriages stand. So, you know, like Wanda Sykes and her partner.
Ellen
still,
DeGeneres and Portia
Ellen
de Rossi.
DeGeneres, yes. They're still married. So
it is interesting. Like, what are you going to do with those 18,000 citizens that are different than everybody else? I mean,
how do they fill out a census report and all that? And It's so that's why we just need to do this at the federal level, mm-hmm. make everything equal, mm-hmm. let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah, I agree. I think we will see much more momentum on that in the upcoming year.
I think one other a couple other things that should be mentioned. Mm-hmm. Well, the murder of the Puerto Rican teen, yes, Stephen Mercado.
That has been kind
how
of here
sad
in the
was
last
that?
Last part of the year. Yeah.
Yeah, that was devastating. And I mean, just the manner.
Describe a little bit about that murder. I mean, not that I want the grueling details, but some people may not know.
Well, there was a 17-year-old teen, Stephen Mercado, who was discovered near a small town in Puerto Rico. He had been apparently beheaded, dismembered, and burned.
Wow.
And it's like,
it's a very personal way to kill somebody. I mean, yeah. You know, as we talk about hate crimes, like that is a very telling. That's not just like shooting somebody, which is a very impersonal crime.
Exactly.
You know, it is a very personal crime to treat someone like that. Matthew Shepard, a very personal mm-hmm. crime mm-hmm. When we look at these stories.
And that killing galvanized a lot of people, including people in Chicago, who organized a large vigil recently in Humboldt Park. But, yeah, that I felt that needed to be mentioned. And related to that, the whole bullying thing that went on. There was an 11-year-old who committed. Carl Walker Hoover.
Oh, right.
An 11-year-old in Springfield, Massachusetts, committed suicide, and he wasn't even gay. Supposedly,
he was just a kid. Who knows what he was? He wasn't sexual, so how can you say he was?
Right.
I mean, he was a prepubescent boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And last but certainly not least, of course, this year was the 40th anniversary of Stonewall.
Oh, right. Gosh, that's true. Huge, right?
Huge.
Who can believe 40 years? I mean, for many people, it's the, you know, they don't know a time, myself included, I don't know a time pre-Stonewall.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but we still have many gay journalists and important GLBT people mm-hmm. for the cause who remember before Stonewall. How do you think that was honored and remembered this year?
Well,
and how significant is it to like look back at how young really our movement is?
Well, yeah, it's really interesting. I think a lot of people either recognized it or were made to recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, because it is, to me, the pivotal.
Mm-hmm. It is the spark of the movement.
It's, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, a lot of people think that the most important, I don't know, aspect of the gay rights movement involved the whole AIDS epidemic and AIDS, and that's certainly up there, but I think Stonewall is number one because it just, like you said, it sparked everything else.
I think that, you know, in my mind, Stonewall kind of sparked the community, the mm-hmm. gay, the GLBT community, mm-hmm. and I think the AIDS crisis kind of sparked our presence as a community in the world, going out into the world more. I don't know. That's just kind of my
I would agree with that.
It became like we were brought together by the Stonewall riots, and that then with the AIDS epidemic, you know, it filtered out and became more of a you know, a mainstream story as opposed to a ghettoizing story, like that thing that happened in that neighborhood in that bar. It was the thing that was happening around the world, you know, that we were kind of at the center of and we're the nexus of with, you know, the stories saying that it happened in San Francisco or was happening mm-hmm. in the bathhouses and all of that.
Unfortunately, the anniversary also came into prominence this year because of that Fort Worth bar raid that happened on the anniversary. And I don't know how familiar people are with that.
Yeah, we covered that quite a bit, that there was the raid with the cops that came in, and now the Liquor Commission has gotten involved, the mm-hmm. Beverage Commission and the Cop Commission, and there's still a lot to be said of them. There will be many trials about mm-hmm. that raid and lawsuits.
I mean, a few heads have already rolled, but yeah, this case is far from over.
Yeah. So let's talk about, on a local level, you know, sorry to for those of you who are not in the Chicago area, but we are a cutting edge city of the world. We are home to Barack Obama and Oprah Winfrey. Yeah. So there's big things happening that's impacting the world.
Oprah's leaving us
potentially. I mean, she's leaving the airways, but who knows if she's leaving Chicago. But what were the big GLBT stories just kind of on a local level? A couple of those here in Chicago.
Okay. Well, actually, this didn't happen this year, but it's something that our paper spotlighted this year. Mm-hmm. And it involves Obama, actually, because back in, I think it was January, mm-hmm. we ran a story about how Obama's stance on same-sex marriage changed.
Yeah. I remember I was sitting watching the Rachel Maddow show, yes. and all of a sudden she was like, and Barack Obama, at, in 1998 said he supported same-sex marriage, fully
and she
equalized.
Cited us. Yeah.
And she said, according to the Windy City Times, and flashed up like his signature on one of our mm-hmm. little questionnaires. And I'm sitting there going, Windy City Times? Rachel Maddow? That's crazy. Mm-hmm. But it was a big story, and mm-hmm. we had the story.
Yeah.
You and Tracy had the story.
Well, I think Tracy had the story.
I think Tracy had the story.
But there were, of course, other things that happened, such as the attacks that constantly happen in this city. Now, in Boys Town, which is on the north side of Chicago, for those of you mm-hmm. who are not familiar with it. Yes. There were a couple of people who attacked, and, a lot of attention received a lot of attention. And, a lot of people turned out for meetings and things like that. However, on the south side, according to the Youth Pride Center, which basically is for minority mm-hmm. LGBT youth, mm-hmm. 17 people have been attacked on the south and west sides. And those have not garnered nearly as much attention, which is a bit disturbing. So there is still that.
But not that unexpected.
Unfortunately. Yes. And more and more people are moving into, minorities are moving to the north side, mm-hmm. which has caused all sorts of reactions. It's interesting.
It's definitely been a big reaction around our center, our mm-hmm. gay and lesbian center on Halsted, youth of color, mm-hmm. Utilizing that facility. And there being a problem with youth of color utilizing that facility or being around the Halsted Strip of bars when they don't have anywhere else to go. So right. where are they going to be? But
exactly.
hanging out outside the bars when they're underage and they're queer youth. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's definitely a hot button issue, I think, in our community with polarizing mm-hmm. Perspectives.
And it's a story that will continue well into next year and beyond, I'm sure. Yep. So
it's our basic discrimination and racism within our community. You know, mm-hmm. it's the mm-hmm. it's the basic isms that involve within our
community. you would think there'd be the attitude of we're all in this together. But
yeah. Oh, we really aren't. We need so many labels.
No.
We can't get enough letters in the alphabet to have a community. So any other story on a local level to wrap us up?
Well, I think on a very different note, the fact that Laura Ricketts, an out lesbian, mm-hmm. is part owner of the Chicago Cubs and is the first openly gay or lesbian owner of a professional sports team is big news.
I think that's huge news. And mm-hmm. Hurrah. I think a lesbian should be owning a major sports team.
I think so too.
Girls have paid their dues. And it might as well be the Cubs because they've tried everything else. So put
Ain't
a lesbian in charge and let's see what happens.
Ain't that the truth?
I mean, can you imagine if they get the World Series after the lesbian takes over the team, I think that would be great. I predict that for 2010, 2011. In the
lesbian
next 2 years.
Lesbian trumps the curse. Yes.
Lesbian trumps
there we go.
The curse. It could happen. Andrew, thank you so much
for the contribution
you make to the Queercast on every show with bringing us the best in world and national, local, and entertainment news. We really appreciate you.
No problem.
And we appreciate you sitting here with me and kind of going over some of those news stories and taking us back to look at the year of 2009. And we look forward to doing it with you again in 2010. It's going to be
a big
year
of news. And hopefully
we'll
have a much better year next year.
I think so. It can only continue to progress, right? We're
there
a
we
movement
go.
That's in movement. So we're hopefully moving forward.
I like that.
Got something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY.
So, Kelly.
Yes?
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Do you like what you got for Christmas? You don't know what you got for Christmas yet, do you?
I don't.
And then you have a birthday.
I do.
Is that like a double whammy? Does that, when you were a kid, was that like, oh, Santa didn't bring me that? And then your parents could run out and get you that for your birthday.
There was a great thing about it, and there was a horrible thing about it. The great thing was that when Christmas was over, I had that to look forward to, especially as a kid. Like, more gifts are going to come in a short amount of time.
Yep.
And the bad thing was, it normally, there was a blizzard on my birthday for so many years. And it was really hard for people to get to the birthday party.
Aww.
So that was kind of hard. There was lots of traveling limitations because of the snow and ice and things that typically happen in January. But I want to ask you this.
Yes.
And maybe the listeners can actually write in. Favorite Christmas gift you've ever received?
Oh, gosh. I knew you were going to ask that. And I didn't know you were going to ask that.
Well, which is it?
Well, you gave me a great Christmas gift.
I did.
Our first year.
That's not why I asked you that.
No, but that's a pretty great gift. I mean, it's not that I get to enjoy her in the same way.
No, she's been locked in a closet.
I guess the story went that, you know, what's that thing? Tells you a lot of insight into me. But what was the thing you never got that you always wanted for Christmas? Was I wanted a Mrs. Beasley doll. Now, of course, our podcast listeners are probably a lot younger than me, maybe. I don't know. But there was a television show called A Family Fair on television. It was a half hour. And there was a little girl on the show, and she had a doll who she kind of talked to, who was her secret friend, and her name was Mrs. Beasley. She's a little blonde-haired doll with these little glasses and this little polka-dot dress. And I always wanted a Mrs. Beasley doll and never got a Mrs. Beasley doll until I met the lovely Kelly Simpkins, the love of my life, and she heard this story. I don't have a clue why I told you this story. And she found
me... Just running at the mouth, as per usual.
As per usual. And she found me a Mrs. Beasley doll, and so I have a Mrs. Beasley doll now.
Who's been locked in a closet?
Who's been locked in a closet for 5 years?
That was a good gift.
That was a shocking and very good gift. But I have to say, as a young kid, wow. I mean, simple pleasures. Like, I really loved my Light Bright. Probably one of my favorite.
Light Bright, making things with lights. Light Bright, things. Da, 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 da,
yep. I loved my Light Bright, and I remember the year that I got, it was made of metal, you know, it was like a little stove and a little refrigerator, and it had little plastic pieces of food that went into the refrigerator, and funny that I don't cook, nor really spend any time in the kitchen, but it felt very exciting that was going to go into my playroom, and then I was going to play with it. I didn't really love Barbies that much and things like that. So.
I didn't ask you what you didn't like. I asked you what you got that you liked.
Those things I liked as a kid. How about you?
One year I loved arcade games.
Mm-hmm.
And my father got me a real pinball machine.
Wow, the big one?
The big one.
Oh, my God.
Like a big one that you put quarters
Holy
in and you
go,
yeah. So that was
Good
like a
Lord.
Blindfold and take us downstairs. And
was it just for you or was it for you and your sister?
It was for me and my sister, but...
It's a thousands of dollar gift.
Yeah, it was pretty huge.
Wow.
It was pretty huge. It was I was the belle of the ball on our block for a really long time.
Yeah, I bet you were.
Until some kid broke it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but that was pretty awesome.
It's like Tommy. Pinball wizard.
Yeah, I loved it. It was so exciting.
That is a pretty awesome gift.
That was really awesome. That was an unforgettable kind of moment.
My connection to that, because I don't know, I don't feel like my parents were that extravagant at Christmas, but my relatable thing was that my mother one year filled my stocking filled with tokens so I could go to the arcade.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And that was a pretty cool gift. I always got Mandarin oranges and tokens when I was... I loved little oranges, which...
It's very bizarre.
It's very bizarre. You had to put fruit in your stocking. My brother got M&Ms, and I always got
oranges. Stacey loves Mandarin oranges.
Yeah, I love them. Well, I hope everybody listening, I hope that you get to spend the holiday week with somebody that you care about, and that you are filled with the spirit of the season, whatever that means to you, whatever it is that you celebrate, and that you are aware of the many gifts in your life.
What's the biggest gift for you this year?
Oh, man. Biggest gift for me would be...
Not literal, not material, necessarily.
I just think... I don't know. I think the biggest gift has been you.
Aww.
Seriously. It has been. That and going to Greece were two of my big gifts this year.
So. Greece would beat me out, I'm sure.
I don't know. If you'd been in Greece, that would have been probably the two gifts together, but... I would say Greece, and then I would say the past, you know, the past couple of months, having you around a little more. So that's been a gift. And good health, you know, and everybody just kind of being able to be together during the holiday season.
Yeah.
You?
Well, now I have to say you, because then I'll sound like a schmuck.
No, you can say our dog. That would be okay.
Our dog. I don't know. I feel like this year a lot of stuff has just deepened. There's just been kind of a deeper connection to issues resolved, understanding things, a deeper connection to humanity and life and wanting to be a part of that in a bigger way. So that's certainly been, you know, you and having a deeper connection with you, and lots of great and challenging and passionate work.
You've had some great career gifts this year.
It's been really, really cool. Past 4 months have been kind of a
Lincoln, you know, Center had been a big locomotive gift.
Yeah, the whole Matthew Shepard, the Laramie Project, and you know, that getting passed was a really big gift, and being a part of that was a really big gift. Been a lot of gifts this year.
So many
gifts.
Well, we have one more show in 2009.
And it's naked.
It's going to be naked and webcast. So tune in. And then, of course, Ms. Cleo on the show early 2010 with her predictions. And we look back and see how many things she got right that she predicted in 2009. It's not a test, Cleo. We just love looking at how good you are at this, girl. So everybody, Merry Christmas, because that's what I would love to say to you. And
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah. And, well, it's a little over, but...
Well, it's over, but...
Happy Hanukkah. Happy Hanukkah from the Methodist from Tennessee. And we will talk to you on the next show, and I will weigh 10 pounds more, I'm sure, in the naked webcast.
Wow.
That'll be fun. More of me to love.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.